Session 6, Our Future Hope. Most of us know what it's like to be eagerly waiting for something. Maybe it's the holiday, maybe it's the release of the next session of Sherlock, maybe it's just the weekend with weekend away with friends. They're little things, aren't they? But they help us to get through the regular grind of life, to have something on the horizon to look forward to. Well, today's session, we're thinking about the ultimate thing that Christians are eagerly waiting for. Have a look at Philippians 3, verse 20 to 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Much of the Christian life is anticipation, or to use the Bible word, hope. This final salvation is something we wait for, eagerly wait for, like the ultimate holiday. And so we might say that Jesus will be my saviour if we're a Christian. We'll think more about that in our small groups. But now we're going to see how a Christian can also say, Jesus has been my saviour, and Jesus is being my saviour. Perhaps you remember that famous Christmas verse, Mary will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus came to do, to save people from their sins. Sin is the big problem in the world. It's the big thing we need saving from, and that's what Jesus came to do. But we're going to see today that he came to do that in the most comprehensive way, past, present, and future. We'll think about each with the help of a different kind of image for each one. So first then, in the past, Jesus has rescued us from the penalty of sin. And here's the picture for this one. It's a law court. And there you are in the court, and there's the judge. And he's sitting there, he's perfectly just, completely impartial. And his job is to deliver the right penalty for our sin. The judge is God. And one by one, well, our sin is laid bare for all to see. And the judge makes it very clear there's only one penalty fit for these crimes, death. God's perfect justice requires that that penalty is paid. But then Jesus steps in. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took that penalty for sin in full himself. And so 1 Peter 3 verse 18 says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Christ's death for sins was once for all. Now, what does that mean for us? It means that the moment someone trusts in Jesus, the penalty that their sin deserves is entirely taken by Christ. And that means that the judge can say not guilty because the penalty has already been paid. And that means that when we slip up into sin, it makes no difference to our status before God. He sees us as perfect in his sight because of what Christ has done. And that's what this verse in Romans 8 declares. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's the past. Sin leaves us with a death penalty over our heads, but through his own death, Jesus has paid fully that penalty for us. It's finished and done with forever. It's past business. And the term often used for this is justified or justification. It simply means that God sees us as righteous in his sight because of Christ's death for us. So that's the past. Jesus has rescued us from the penalty of sin. The present. Jesus is rescuing us from the power of sin. And now we change the picture from a law court to that of a slave driver. And imagine a kind of ruthless slave master. And the slave is absolutely in his clutches. Slave is utterly powerless, and the master has him under his control in the most destructive kind of way. Well, that's another picture the Bible gives us of sin. It's not just a kind of penalty that we face, sin is also a powerful tyrant who has control over us. And we know something of that in our own experience, don't we? We might try to be good, but we find it so hard. Sin seems to kind of keep coming back and getting us. We end up getting into destructive addictions or thought patterns or relationships because, well, this is what sin does. It has a hold on us. But wonderfully, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just save us from the penalty of sin. He began a process whereby he will save us from the power of sin's control. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who now frees us from sin's power. But this plays out gradually in a Christian's life. We're not immediately set free from all temptation, but because of Jesus, we are now actually able to fight temptation and to win. But all of this takes time, and you'll see that from the 2 Corinthians verse. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Our transformation happens gradually. Gradually we are being rescued from the power of sin. And the word often used to refer to this is sanctification. Sanctus is a Latin word that means becoming more holy. Well, that's the past and the present. But as we've seen, Jesus' full work of salvation is something we eagerly await. It's something in the future. So finally, Jesus will rescue us from the presence of sin. We've had the law court, we've had the slave driver. Our final picture is home. You know what it's like. You've been away for some time, perhaps. How lovely it is to get home. And that sense that finally you're where you belong. And that is what Christians ultimately wait for. Christians don't feel like this world, which is still marked by sin and suffering and a kind of rejection of God, we don't feel like this is our home. And that's because it's not. God has given us a new home in heaven. And when we get there, you know, it'll be the ultimate feeling of we're at home at last. It'll be a home where there is no more sin to battle with at all. A home where we enjoy perfect, intimate relationship with God. A home that will never end. You see, God's ultimate plan is to do away with sin and death entirely. He'll do that when Jesus returns and finally judges all sin. Those who are trusting in him have nothing to fear when that happens because Jesus has already taken the penalty for them. Instead, they can simply look forward to Jesus taking them as his people home forever. And we've already seen that verse in Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And so a Christian has been saved from sin by Jesus. A Christian is being saved from sin by Jesus. A Christian will be saved from sin by Jesus. This is Jesus' complete work of salvation for us. And if we're trusting in Christ, it is all completely certain. Just because some of it lies in the future, it's not at all in doubt. In fact, the Bible says that because we can see that God has already saved us from sin's penalty, we can be absolutely certain that he will one day also bring us home to heaven. That's this verse from Romans 5. Since then we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? In other words, because God gave us his son, died for us, paid the penalty for our sin, whilst we were his enemies, now that he's made us his friends, Well, how much more can we expect him to take us to be with him forever? Someone has said that the Christian life is 99% anticipation. We do enjoy much now as believers, but there is much more to look forward to in the future. And the passage we're looking at today in Philippians is going to be focusing very much on that future hope. Just as we finish, though, why does this matter? Why is it important for us to understand these three tenses of salvation, the past, the present, the future? Well, understanding that Jesus has rescued us from the penalty of sin is crucial for our joy and security in the Christian life. You see, it means we no longer need to live in fear that God will finally reject us because of our sin. Okay, it doesn't depend on my performance anymore, but on Christ's death for me. And it means that I can experience a deep joy and peace instead of insecurity and guilt. That's why I've got to realize that Christ has rescued me from the penalty of sin. It's also important, though, that I understand that Jesus is rescuing me from the power of sin, because that will stop me from feeling discouraged when sin is a battle. You know, I'll remember it's a gradual thing. God is committed to releasing us from sin's power more and more. But in the meantime, I mustn't be surprised when it's a battle. Keep pressing on. But it's also important to keep remembering that Jesus will rescue us finally to take us home, because it'll stop us from feeling disillusioned when life is hard. It'll stop us from thinking, why doesn't God do something? Well, one day soon, he will. He'll take you home. And so that means we can have the power now to keep pressing on, to keep, as Paul puts it in Philippians, eagerly awaiting.